Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discuss the Suicide Prevention Month, get an update from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, and learn about the United Healthcare Veterans Career Fair. But first, we are deeply saddened by the loss of General Jack W. Vesey, Jr., who was born on June 29, 1922, and died August 18, 2016. General Vesey epitomized everything good about being a military general, successful leader, and patriotic American. His entire life was one of service and leadership, and everyone who knew him benefited from that relationship. Born in Minneapolis and a proud member of the Minnesota National Guard at age 16, General Vesey was the longest-serving active service member in United States history and the only soldier to attain every rank in the Army had to offer. In 1944, then First Sergeant Vesey earned a battlefield promotion to Second Lieutenant for his tenacity and valor during the Battle of Anzio, which succeeded in toppling fascist Italy and paved the way for Allied victory in World War II. Later, during the Vietnam War, then Lieutenant Colonel Vesey earned a Distinguished Service Cross for his leadership and defense of a fire support base during Operation Junction City. In 1982, General Vesey became the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Reagan and later championed the search for prisoners of war and service members listed as missing in action as a special emissary to Vietnam for the Clinton administration. He will be missed and remembered. To learn more about General Vesey, please watch our interview with him on Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site. It's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tuesday, August 30th, is Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. This year, we will be recognizing Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Networks and supporters for the work they do across Minnesota in support of military members and their families. I encourage you to come out early in the day. At 10 o'clock in the morning, a program at the Liney Lodge will celebrate Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon program. Directly after the program, there will be a flyover by World War II era P-6 and B-25 aircraft, along with a performance by the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division Band. In addition to the morning program, the day is filled with educational opportunities about the military and for military veterans, members, and families. Resource information will be available at our booth locations in the northeast corner of the fairgrounds at Expo Place. Don't forget to also stop by Carousel Park, where our Yellow Ribbon companies will be highlighting their efforts and providing entertainment throughout the day on the Carousel Park stage. All military and their families, as well as veterans and their spouses, will receive a discounted admission at the gate when they present valid documentation of military service. We'll see you August 30th at the Great Minnesota Get-Together.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Skip Grozik from the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund. Skip, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having us, Tom.
Skip, we opened the show today with a memorial to General Jack Vesey, and you were very close with him.
Yes, I'm his son-in-law, and he and I did a lot of things together, and we miss him dearly.
You got to share his great experiences for many, many years, didn't you?
A lot of nice stories, a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories that nobody gets to hear about how things happened and why things happened, and what a great trusted advisor he was to many great presidents of our country.
He was just a national treasure and one of our own Minnesotans, wasn't he?
Hear, hear.
And I know that he was very supportive of your activities on behalf of the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund. Can you share with our listeners where did that start and what's your mission?
Well, that started back in about 03. He and Gene Sitt, who is our visionary founder of MMAF, got together, and he and Gene were talking about what Gene Sitt could do of Sitt Investments for our Minnesota soldiers, and they came up with the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund. Gene put up the first $1 million, and we give out grants to Minnesotans who have served honorably since 9/11/01. For serving, you get $500. If you were wounded and received a Purple Heart, you'll get anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000, and the families of the KIA would receive $5,000.
So this kind of goes back to my era when I was in Vietnam. It seems to me I came home and learned about there was some kind of a bonus for serving in the war zone that you could get from the state of Minnesota, and I think it was a few hundred dollars or something. But it's kind of a similar program where you're rewarding the service members for their service overseas.
What Gene Sitt wanted to do, Tom, and all of our listeners here, is he wanted to make it a citizen's effort for the citizen soldiers of Minnesota. So all our money raised comes from our citizens. To date, we've raised $16 million since August of 2005 we went public. We've given out over $10 million to over 14,000 Minnesota soldiers.
It's a lot of money, Skip. You've been busy for a lot of years. And if our listeners want to learn more about this, they can go to the website, which is thankmntroops.org. And, of course, I was looking at your website this morning, and it said something about $10.4 million has already been given out to 16,400 troops. Now, Skip, on that website, there'll be information to show our listeners how to apply for this grant?
Absolutely. It's all online. You can do everything online, and they'll have all the paperwork there for you.
Yeah, Skip, the last time you were on, I think we were talking about the fact that some of the troops that served early after you started this, or General Vesey, and they started this, have we missed for 2 to 3 years back in 03, 4, 5, something like that?
Right. Since 05, when we started, we worked real close with the National Guard, so we were at all the deployment and the return meetings to let the soldiers know that this was available to them. But that group from 9/11/01 through 05, we didn't get the word out as well to them. And due to just certain restrictions, we can't reach them directly. So if you know anyone out there, all of our listeners that has served in a hostile fire pay zone from 9/11/01 through today, but earlier on especially, please let them know they are still eligible for a grant.
So no time limit. If they served and they haven't gotten a grant for their service, then go to that website, thankmntroops.org, and apply. Skip, we're speaking with Skip Krozik from the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. You've got an event coming up to raise some funds.
This September 24th, Saturday, at Boy Scouts of America Base Camp by Fort Snelling, we have our annual Say Thanks Day for the troops, and we have a 5 and 10K run and a 2-mile walk, 7 a.m. registration. 8:30, we have the national anthem and the start of the 5 and 10K runs. 8:40, we have the walk, and then from 9:30 to 11:30, we have the program. Come on out and see. We have the Patriot Parachute Team coming in doing some just unbelievable things with parachutes that you can't imagine in the air. Live music with Emerson Avenue, Harding High School Drill Team Band, and just a lot of festivities for the young kids and food and drink.
That date again, Skip?
September 24th, Saturday.
Saturday, September 24th, and I would guess there's more information on that at your website, which is thankmntroops.org.
You bet, Tom.
Now, who do you want to come out, and how many do you expect? You did this last year.
We get about 1,000 people each year. We'd sure like to ramp it up and get a few more this year. It's a big awareness day for us. We're trying to get everybody to make awareness of the troops and what their sacrifices are for them and their families. Last year, we brought in one of the Vietnam Veteran Memorial Walls, and we ended up having about 7,000 people come through. So we're happy to have a lot of people this year also.
So plenty of room for as many who want to come out and participate.
Plenty of parking, plenty of room, a lot to drink, a lot of beverages, live music, and a great run and walk.
And, Skip, I would think that those two original founding sponsors or partners of the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund are probably looking down on that, hoping you have a great day.
Hear, hear.
So
get choked up thinking about them, Tom. They were so close.
Well, it's hard to lose somebody that special, but I happen to think that there's more work for them to do, and they're up there doing it.
You got that right.
Skip, we just got about a minute left. Let's go through this event again, the time, date, and who's welcome.
Saturday, September 24th, everyone's welcome. Minnesota troops are for free and their families. 7 a.m. registration, 8:30 we start the National Anthem and the start of the 5 and 10K runs. They're both sanctioned runs, so if you're a runner, come on out there and get a sanctioned time for your record book or whatever you keep. 8:40 is the start of the 2-mile walk, and then 9:30, 11:30 is the program.
Well, I hope you have another great event again this year, Skip. And once again, for our listeners, you can go to thankmntroops.org. You can learn all about the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund and that event. And are you going to have another Big event next spring?
We have a dinner planned next spring. I'm reluctant to release the name of the speaker till we get him secured, but it's a great nationally recognized speaker who's also happens to be a Minnesotan.
There you go. Skip, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts?
Support the troops.
Support the troops and think about all the troops from over all the ages that have served so well as General Vesey has, and let's support the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. Skip, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Skip Krozik from the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. When we come back, we'll talk about the United Health Group's career fair, which is coming up on next. Thank you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we want to talk about the fact that United Health Group is helping host a large-scale military and veterans career fair at Target Field on September 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time. The entire event will be tailored to meet the needs of veteran job seekers, active duty military, Guard and Reserve, and military spouses. More than 50 local employers who understand the great value recruiting and hiring military talent can bring to an organization will be in attendance, and we want to get as many veterans there to that event as possible. Once again, Target Field, September 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And joining me now from United Health Group are a couple of fellow veterans to talk about this. First is Shelley Mueller. Shelley, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I understand you were in the Minnesota Army National Guard for a while.
I am, and I'm still in.
You're still in, okay. You started out as enlisted, and now you're a captain.
I did. I enlisted into the military in 2001, actually just about 6 weeks before 9/11. I was enlisted for 5 years, and then I took my commission in 2006. I deployed to Iraq in 2007 for a year and came back. During that time, I had also been full-time with the Minnesota Army National Guard for 10 years. And then I transitioned to Optum, still a serving member of the Minnesota Army National Guard with a 34th ID Red Bull, so HR captain.
So now you're full-time with Optum, which is a part of the United Health Group.
It is. I'm a business analyst with them.
Okay. And also with us today is Ryan Curl. Ryan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
And I understand you just recently retired from the military.
As of last month, yes. So 20 years of service, finished off the Minnesota National Guard as well.
And started as enlisted and also finished as a major, is that correct?
Correct. Enlisted in 96, active duty, came off active duty, joined the National Guard. I went to college, became an officer, and then two deployments, one in 2007-2008 with Shelley. We went to Iraq together. And then in 2012 to Afghanistan.
So now you're a civilian.
Correct.
How's that going for you?
It feels good. I'm going to start growing a beard here soon, I think.
Uh-oh, here we go. We've seen this happen before. And how long have you been with the United Health Group?
I've been there for about 3 years.
3 years, okay. Now, I understand that the United Health Group has a veteran steering committee. Can you tell me about that, Ryan?
Absolutely. So we're a bunch of veterans, kind of grassroots. We've found each other kind of in the hallways, found out there's quite a few veterans that are serving there right now. And we've come together. We want to demonstrate the value that veterans bring to the organization. We've got three different pillars we support. Veteran hiring, recruiting, and retention is one pillar. Leadership. I mean, we have a lot of veterans come in with a lot of great leadership experience, and we feel that's experience we can pass on to some of our peers. And then also social responsibility. How, you know, veterans are committed to serving. How can we give back to the community as well?
Shelley, I want to ask you, you said you spent so far 15 years in the military, and you've been with Optum for a short time. Did they understand the value of your experience in the military?
You know, I feel like they did. I had a wonderful recruiter who really helped me transition my military skills into a resume so that our hiring managers could really understand that. Ryan also had already worked on the team that I transitioned to. So between him and the recruiter, it was very helpful. But the hiring managers, they really took time to understand. They walked through my resume with me, had me highlight different areas, and really embraced the military and my skills.
So, Ryan, you had showed them before what the value of your military experience and in training?
I believe so. And it was, you know, my manager at the time, we sat down, we looked at my experience, we talked it over. And that was, I think, the biggest difference compared to other places I was applying at, is that the recruiters and the managers at United Health Group really sat down to talk to me and understand, you know, what it is I did and how that experience could actually fit into the positions they had available.
And so that was helpful in them figuring out, okay, what position should we put him in and where can we make best use of his leadership qualities and his experience and his training?
Extremely helpful. I mean, there's a lot of places that are committed to hiring veterans, and I would say there's lots of companies that want to hire veterans, but the difficulty is translating that skill set, that experience you have, and how does that best fit into a company. And it takes time. It takes time on the hiring manager's part. It takes time on the veteran's part to help make that translation. And a lot of times hiring managers, and when they're in the hiring process, they're trying to fill a position now so they can move on.
We're speaking with Shelley Mueller and Ryan Curl about the Hiring Our Heroes and United Health Group Veterans Career Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Shelley, how did this Veterans Career Fair come up, and how did the United Health Group get involved in that?
Yeah, so there is the Medal of Honor convention coming up this October that United Health Group is hosting, and there's all of the local employers coming together to sponsor this event. So they thought, why not have a veterans hiring fair? That's what we're trying to do here. So over 80 employers right now are going to be at the veterans hiring fair, and this is kind of how it all spawned together.
And how are you fortunate enough to have that held at Target Field?
That's a good question. I don't know that one, but it's really exciting. It's September 1st at Target Field. You can register ahead of time at mohjobfair.org. And if you attend, you're eligible to get up to 2 tickets to the Twins game that night as well.
There you go. Go down to the job fair and stay for the Twins.
Bonus.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Ryan, on this job fair that's coming up, Shelley tells us you've got 80 employers going to be there. Who are you reaching out to? Which veterans should come down and why?
Oh, well, reaching out to all veterans, including their families as well, so the spouses and children of veterans, and all across the state. The companies themselves tend to be very Twin Cities centric, but United Health Group alone, I mean, besides the positions we have here in the Twin Cities, we've got close to 2,000 positions that are telecommuting, meaning that you can be working in those positions anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country.
So one of the employers that's looking to hire veterans is United Health Group.
Yes.
Well, that's a good reason to get involved, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
I'm wondering, you've been on the job. Now you're ex-civilian, so you can answer questions. Do you have any tips for veterans looking for jobs?
From my own experience, one of the most beneficial things I had was actually reaching out to other veterans that had made that transition. And, talking to them and helping them talking with them to help understand what I've done and how that can translate to different positions. I'm a business analyst. There's no business analyst in the military. But a lot of what I've done translates directly to the analyst work I've done. I've also worked project management. I did that in the military. I just didn't know it. And I had to translate what I did into project management.
Now, one more question on that. Were there any big challenges transitioning from military and all of those type of the way you carry yourself and disciplines to civilian, and now we're going to work for a for-profit employer?
there's always challenges there. And it's sometimes something bigger, like learning how to influence without authority. One of my earliest challenges is that I had it so ingrained in me that I had to be at meetings 10 minutes prior, otherwise I was late.
Sir,
so
yes, sir.
I would be there 10 minutes, and I'd wait 9.5 minutes for anybody else to show up.
Well, it's always good to be early anyway, isn't it? I've been out of the military for over 40 years, and I'm still doing it, so don't let it get to you. Shelley, we just got a couple of minutes left. Tell me about the event again. Where's it going to be and when and who's invited and how many people are you expecting or hoping for?
Definitely. This is going to be just such an exciting event. So United Health Group, along with more than 80 local employers, are going to be at Target Field for the Military and Veteran Career Fair on September 1st. At 9:30 in the morning, there's going to be an hour-long workshop for all job seekers, so it's veterans and their family members as well. And then at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is when the job fair really kicks off. So come out to the booths, meet with the recruiters. Ryan and myself and some other veterans will be there as well to help translate those skills, walk through resumes. Right now, we have over 500 veterans that have registered for the event. So mohjobfair.org, you'll learn all the details there.
mohjobfair.org.
That's it.
Ryan, you want to expand on that at all? Well, sounds like she described it pretty well. And 500 veterans already.
She's described it to a T. It's like she's had some really good mentorship from a previous commander at some point.
I know. I don't know who that was.
That's right. We have a captain and a retired major in here, so watch out. Well, we've just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think we hit it all. I really hope that everybody takes the time to come out. Even if you're a veteran who's already serving in a job and maybe feel that you're underemployed right now, this is a great opportunity to look at those skill sets and look at them again and talk to other employers that are really trying to outreach and find the right position for you and your military experience.
Shelley, we're going to give you the last word, 20 seconds.
Perfect. I would just say, comment out that personal experience and being able to physically talk to a recruiter or a veteran employee is key to the next step in your career.
All right. I want to thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
That was Shelley Mueller and Ryan Curl talking about Hiring Our Heroes and United Health Group's Veteran Career Fair, which will be held at Target Field on September 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go on out there and see if you can find a new career. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Minnesota State. Formerly known as Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, or MNSCU, Minnesota State has been a partner with Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon program since its inception. From sending staff to teach educational pathways at reintegration events to ensuring that prior experiences in the military translate to earned credits towards educational degrees, Minnesota State is on the forefront of military support. At all of their colleges and universities across the state, they have created workplaces and schools dedicated to honoring and supporting those who have served as they attain their educational goals. Minnesota State Colleges and Universities has been a Yellow Ribbon company since January of 2010 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll discuss Suicide Prevention Month. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Come visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as MDVA, at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The department will host a booth at a new location this year in the grandstand for the duration of the state fair. Our staff will be on site with county veteran service officers to ensure veterans who stop by get the best knowledge, resources, and referrals in terms of state and federal benefits. Other organizations represented include our veteran service organization partners like the VFW, American Legion, and Disabled American Veterans. Learn about MDVA and how we fulfill our mission of serving Minnesota's veterans and their families. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk a little bit about Suicide Prevention Month. And in this segment, we're joined by Thad Strom, who is a psychology supervisor and assistant training director for psychology at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. In addition to his administrative duties, he also provides direct clinical services to veterans diagnosed with PTSD, those at increased risk for suicide, and those seeking to a return to gainful employment. He is a national trainer for PTSD treatment and is committed to ensuring the VA provides the most effective treatments available to all veterans and active duty service members. Dr. Strom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sir, can you give us a little background? How long did it take to get to be a specialist in this area? And how much education and training have you had?
Sure. So I got my doctoral degree back in 2006 and was hired directly into the VA. Did a postdoc at National Center for PTSD in Honolulu, which is a little bit different climate from here, but and have been working at this facility now for coming up on about 8 or 9 years.
And you went directly into the VA healthcare system.
Yep, did an internship and then really enjoyed working with veterans and decided to stick it out for a career.
So, doctor, let's talk about PTSD. What is it?
PTSD is a significant mental health concern. We're finding that active duty service members and veterans coming back are really kind of struggling with putting some of these memories behind them and really kind of finding that some of the combat experiences that they've endured are kind of continuing to show up when they don't want it to be. And it really makes sense then that they're wanting to kind of avoid things that are going to stir up those memories. So it's really a condition that's affecting a number of our service members coming back. And really, we've been doing our best job to kind of help treat that.
So, doctor, in World War II and Korea, I think they referred to this as combat fatigue sometimes. And when I was in Vietnam, I don't think I ever heard the term PTSD.
Correct.
When did we name it and when did we kind of describe it that way?
You know, you can see in writings all the way back to kind of early, like I think like Socrates kind of talked about this, but really the diagnosis actually came out in the 80s. And really that's when they kind of dubbed it PTSD. And really, so it's kind of a relatively new diagnosis, and really much of the research has kind of been coming out since 1980s in terms of how to treat it, diagnose it effectively.
Yeah, we're really talking about post-traumatic stress which can be caused by a number of different things, can it?
Yep. Obviously, most commonly we're talking about with military samples combat, but you know, certainly at the VA where we work, we're treating people who've had childhood abuse, childhood sexual abuse, car accidents, natural disasters, all sorts of things.
We're speaking with Dr. Thad Strom from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Doctor, we've had, I think, one of your associates, Dr. Pelusny, on the show before, right. And I think her studies, Rings 1 and Rings 2, showed us that actually most of our deployed service members come back and they're fine, but a small percentage of them suffer right. from post-traumatic stress, and I think her study showed that there are some reasons that might make them susceptible to that, which are pretty fascinating.
Yep.
But for those that are suffering, do we have the ability today? Do we know how to help them?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's probably one of the biggest messages I try and get out there. I think really kind of the media and popular culture really kind of did the Vietnam era veterans a disservice by sending a message that this is not a treatable condition. And we know from decades of research and my own clinical work and research that we're doing at the VA and other facilities that this is a treatable condition. And we really hope that message gets out there. It's really oftentimes time-limited treatment. We're at 10 or 12 appointments. It's not easy work for veterans and other civilians to go through, but really they're showing very good benefit by going through it.
So, Dr., September is Suicide Prevention Month, and we read these articles about how many veterans commit suicide each day, and it's an alarming number.
It is.
Because it's a higher number than the general population. But for our listeners out there, if they have a loved one who's a veteran that may be suffering from post-traumatic stress, are there signs that you could recognize that they're having some kind of problem that might lead to suicide?
You know, first and foremost, I mean, what we're always talking about is anytime somebody makes a comment related to suicide, to take it very seriously. But I think short of somebody kind of making those statements, oftentimes what we're seeing is, you know, people pulling away from valued activities, and really kind of the mindset of somebody who becomes suicidal is they're feeling very much like they're out of touch with other people. They don't feel connected to other people, and they very much feel that they're a burden to other people. And so it's really when we start to see comments related to that, and we notice that something else is going on, like PTSD, you know, that's usually when we're talking to people about, you know, take those comments seriously. If we can, get them into mental health care if they're not in there. And also do anything we can to challenge the belief that the person is a burden to other people or doesn't have a valuable contribution to their community or their family. Really kind of, even just kind of going out of their way of sending a simple greeting card, reminding them that they're thinking of them, has really kind of been shown to be fairly effective with things like that.
So if you see a family member or your veteran becoming more and more isolated and doing things they haven't done before and you're concerned, what is the family member, what's the first thing for them to do? Do they challenge the veteran, or do they quietly ask what's wrong, or do they make a call to the VA to get help?
You know, if they're making comments, I think certainly, and they're making direct suicidal comments, I would take those seriously and kind of reach out for additional help. You know, I think one of the myths and misconceptions out there is that we shouldn't ask people, that somehow they're too fragile to respond to questions about suicide. And that's not usually the case. You know, people usually do want to talk about it. So I think, excuse me, I do think that one of the things that we want to do is to, you know, kind of really reach out to that person and kind of express care and concern, reconnect them with the things that they find valuable in their lives as much as possible. And if it is something that they're making serious comments, take those seriously, get a mental health professional involved, make sure the person knows about suicide prevention hotlines, things of that sort. But I don't think the family member should feel like they have to do this alone. So bringing in support if possible.
So it's okay to say hello to your veteran and say, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
What are you thinking about, lady? Are you having some trouble? Anything I can do to help?
You know, usually there's other signs, and you mentioned kind of PTSD being one of those signs. You know, usually kind of the suicidal thoughts are kind of under the surface, so there's usually other indicators, like if the person is kind of pulling back or more irritable, having a difficulty time sleeping, things of that sort are really kind of behaviorally activated, just kind of pacing the floor, wringing their hands, things like that. So I think kind of checking in and not being afraid to ask those questions is an important first step.
So as a follow-up, if they're still concerned and they think that there might be some suicidal thoughts, Do they call the suicide hotline and ask for help and ask for further direction?
Yeah, that's what we're encouraging the veterans to do, absolutely, on their behalf, to call and report this. And that information gets tracked locally by the local VA facilities. We get direct reports on people who are calling that, and we'll follow up to make sure that they're getting the necessary care.
And the suicide prevention hotline is 1-800-273-TALK. Or if they just call the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, one of the first things they're going to hear on the recording is, if you're calling about this, click here.
Exactly. Yep.
Now, Doctor, we just got about a minute before we have to go on a break. We have seen news reports in the national newspapers that we're having some trouble across the system, across the VA system and other parts of the country. How are we doing here in Minneapolis?
You know, we have a fabulous, one of the advances that the VA has made is making sure that every VA facility has a suicide prevention team. And we have a fabulous team led by Lindy Fortin here at our local facility who have been making efforts to provide outreach to the community, provide education about suicide, and then also make sure that those veterans who are calling the hotline are connected with a proper mental health team. And if somebody is deemed to be at high risk, and usually we have pretty good indicators of who might be at higher risk for suicide, making sure that their case management kind of followed up a little bit more closely. So they've been doing a fabulous job at bringing those rates down.
Thank you, Doctor. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Suicide Prevention Month with Dr. Thad Strom. And if you didn't get it the first time, the Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-TALK. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about Suicide Prevention Month, and our guest is Dr. Thad Strom from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And we've been talking to the doctor about PTSD and recognizing the signs that a veteran might have something changed in his situation or his thoughts, and how to deal with that. And doctor, one of the questions we've had is, you know, what are some of the popular misconceptions about suicide? When I was young, I was told, if you think somebody's got a problem, don't talk to them about it. Just call the doctor or something. That's not right, is it?
Exactly. I think that's one of the most popular held misconceptions about people who are experiencing suicidal ideation is we shouldn't ask because it's somehow going to trip them over to actually acting on it. And actually what we find is that a lot of people want to talk about it. They've been struggling with it and kind of wavering, going back and forth. So oftentimes just having a supportive ear to kind of talk through with it can be useful. And I think one of the other popular misconceptions out there is that people who have completed this is an entirely selfish act. And that's actually something I really feel like we need to dispel as a nation, because really when we understand the mindset of somebody who is suicidal, this is actually kind of a selfless act. They firmly believe that they are a burden to someone else, and they firmly believe that they're not connected to anyone else. They're not close to anyone else. Nobody else really understands them. So they feel like they're doing people a favor by removing themselves from this world. And so I do think that it's not a selfish act, and I think we need to kind of understand where they're coming from with that.
So they've kind of pushed themselves into a corner. They're increasingly isolated. They're taking their own counsel. They feel like they're a burden to their family and their friends, and they're saying, if I do this, they can get on with life and they don't have to worry about me. And they're just not thinking correctly.
Correct.
And you can combat that by asking, how are you?
Asking about it and also providing some corrective information that they do matter. They are making contributions. I do feel close to you. I do think about you, and I would miss you if you're gone. I think oftentimes that is something that the family can be most effective in.
So, once again, they can call the Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-TALK. And I would guess that if the veteran called and started talking through that, then they could get them into the system and help them. But even if the family of the veteran called, they could get some reinforcement to say, talk to your veteran, see how they're doing. If there's some kind of issue, come on in. We know how to help them.
Correct. Yep. They can link them up with the proper mental health services, which is what our teams are designed to do.
So whether it's PTSD that maybe has triggered this, or if there's some other issues that maybe have triggered it over the years that you've studied this, you know how to effectively offer some therapies and solutions?
Correct. Yep. I think one of the things that the VA has done a fabulous job of compared to the community is actually putting in place treatments that have been shown to reduce suicidal ideation and suicidal behaviors. Like one treatment called dialectical behavior therapy is a treatment that's offered at the local facility here, and we're really kind of viewed as a national expert for that treatment. But beyond that, one of the biggest risk factors for suicide is having some sort of mental health condition. And so it's really important to get the proper care for those conditions. So the VA is really kind of nationally an expert in getting those evidence-based treatments for things like depression and PTSD and schizophrenia. So we're actually treating the condition that's driving a lot of those suicidal thoughts.
So, doctor, here in Minnesota with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, do you have the resources? Do you have the people? Do you have enough so that no matter who calls, you can take care of them in a timely fashion?
Yep. And one of the things the VA is doing is making sure we can offer same-day access for mental health conditions at points all across the country. In Minneapolis locally here, we are definitely well-staffed and ready for veterans coming in.
So here in Minnesota, we're not missing any calls and not getting put on hold and all those things that you hear about all across the nation?
Not to my knowledge, no. We have a firmly committed staff who are very talented and good at what they do.
Doctor, we've just got about a minute and a half left. Can you just run through once again, what are some of the signs, what do you do about it, and who do you call?
Sure. I think some of the signs that we would want to look for is people withdrawing from things that they used to do or enjoy doing, and withdrawing from relationships that matter to them. Behaviorally, we look to see, oftentimes we see people really struggling with sleep in kind of the weeks and months leading up to a suicide attempt. Also, really a lot of behavioral activation, things like pacing the floor, wringing their hands, things of that sort. And so we really want to, beyond just kind of the overt signs of people saying, I'm feeling suicidal or feeling like taking my own life, those are things that we kind of want to look for and pay attention to. And so family members are really encouraged to kind of take those signs and statements on the part of the veteran service member seriously.
So then once again, if the family of a veteran or the veteran wants to reach out for some help, they can call the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. Even just the general line, one of the first questions is, if you need help on this, dial this number.
Correct.
Or they can call the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K.
Correct.
Doctor, just 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Nope. Just thanks for being here, Tom. Thanks for all you do.
Well, we appreciate that you're working hard here at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system to help all our veterans on this and a lot of other issues, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today, sir.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Thad Strom, a clinical psychologist from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, talking about PTSD and suicide prevention. Joining me now is Lisa Klenk, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. Lisa, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Lisa, one of the things we talk about every month when you're on is county veteran service officers, and there's one in every county, and it should be the first place any veterans goes to if they need any kind of help.
Yes, definitely, and definitely want to make sure that if you're returning from active duty or you've returned stateside from an active duty stint in the National Guard, you definitely want to go and record your DD-214 with your county veteran service officer and find out all about your benefits as a veteran.
And even if you don't think you need any help, if you go meet them, record your DD-214, you may need them later, your family may need them later, and if you have some kind of a problem related to the time that you served in the military, that's the place to go to start a claim.
Definitely. It is the one-stop shop to take care of you.
Well, it's a great organization in Minnesota, but can you tell us when and why were the county veteran service officer positions created?
That's a great question, and it's very interesting because we are unique in the United States is that we actually have a mandate that was written in 1948, and it's a state statute that requires every county have a county veteran service officer. And that county veteran service officer, like I said, in 1948, and the reason being is this was after World War II, and seeing the necessary needs of veterans and any related service-connected disability from the World War II, the state really recognized it and said, we need to make sure we take care of our veterans. They've served our country. They fought for our freedoms. We need to make sure that we have a voice in the county that advocates for them with the state as well as the federal government. And so the position was created, and the requirements were that to be a veteran service officer, you had to be a veteran yourself. So one, I think that really makes it more apt to be able to understand and relate to a veteran when you yourself are a veteran. So in 1948, they created that state statute, and 87 counties in Minnesota has CVSOs, and there are some smaller counties that share duties because they're small and their size is, under, a certain amount. So they work with the other two counties, but there's a few of those. I think the most important thing is that the principle behind the CVSO was to ensure that veterans in their county had a direct link to the commissioners and those constituents, those veteran constituents, were taken care of by that CBSO.
So was that designed to make it local and to give the county jurisdiction so that they could take care of people at home?
Yes, and I think it was one of those things that, you know, because the state is so big and, you know, we can't, you know, you needed to have somebody locally that understood and related to them and could see them on a daily basis. And that's one of the benefits of, you know, where my county, where people can come to me directly. They don't have to go up to the regional office in Minnesota, you know, in St. Paul and talk to someone. They can come directly within their county, talk to a local individual who is a veteran and get their cares and concerns handled and their service-connected benefits that they've earned, benefits that they have earned from their service in the country. Because when you think about it, 1% of our population serves in the military and serves their countries for the 99% of the people and keeps their freedom. So I think we have a duty to ensure our veterans have a place and an environment that shows it's a department that they've earned and to support and support only them.
Makes a lot of sense, Lisa, and I hope you and all the rest of the County Veteran Service Officers keep up all of the good work.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, and thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for joining me again today. That was Lisa Klenk, President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. We have two mentions today. First, the Rochester Symphony Chorale, in collaboration with the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Band, presents Echoes of 9/11, a free community concert at the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester on September 10th. Patriotic performances will commence on will commemorate the 15th anniversary of 9/11 attacks to honor first responders and lives lost. More information at rochestersymphony.org. And the second mention is retired military members are invited to attend the Joint Retiree Appreciation Day at Mystic Lake on Saturday, September 24th. Presentations cover updates on most trustee benefits, including TRICARE health and dental insurance. Registration costs $17 per person. To locate registration forms, use Google keywords Metro JRAD. Postmark deadline is September 12th. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Skip Krasick, Ryan Curl and Shelley Mueller, Dr. Thad Strom, Lisa Klenk, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we record live from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And please join us Tuesday afternoon from the News Talk booth on Machinery Hill from noon to 4. We hope to see you there at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.